Digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
Who is it you're looking for?
Someone who can give me the names of everyone else involved. I need you to break the story in case I don't make it. If Dalia Hassan finds out that the Russians had a hand in the death of her husband, she'll never sign the agreement.
I need to speak to your mother.
It's about the people who really murdered your father.
We know who was responsible.
What you don't know is those people were working under the
orders of Russian agents.
Bauer made contact with Meredith Reed.
My God.
You need to call her publisher
and demand that they do not run the story.
You're suggesting muzzling the press?
If you don't use the power of your office to shut this story down, your peace agreement won't be the only casualty.
I need you to contact the FBI, have them locate Reed, and seize whatever evidence she purports to have.
Meredith Reed, FBI, you're under arrest.
Let's go.
You're right about Jack. He is working with somebody. It's James Ricker, ex-CIA op. We found him living in a place on Mercer Street. He's not going to be happy we tracked him down. I need you to talk to him. Get him to tell us where Jack is. Are you good with that, or are you still not taking sides?
I'm going to expose this cover-up as much as you. I'm in.
Jack, masked and armored, attacked Logan's limo.
That's Jack Bauer!
Get up, or I will kill you right here.
You know the name of the person inside the Russian government who's giving the orders. I want that name.
Jack!
Give me that name!
I'll tell you.
Four!
Mikhail Novakovich!
Where's Novakovich?
He's dead. Bauer just came in shooting.
Mikhail Novakovich was just murdered by Jack Bauer.
What?
As far as Bauer is concerned, the trail ended with Novakovich.
Then Bauer has no idea that Novakovich was operating under my orders.
None. If you're so worried about Bauer, you never should have given the order to kill Renee Walker.
The following takes place between 2 p.m. and 3 p.m. Events occur in real time.
The vertiginous New York skyline basks in afternoon sunshine. Ortiz drives through the city. He picks up his phone and scrutinizes the caller ID.
Arlo.
Cole, I just picked up a preliminary flash. Jack murdered Novakovich at his hotel and six of his security guards. According to a witness, Jack killed all seven men on his own and fell right back off the radar. Eden can't find any trace of him.
Does Chloe know about this?
I just talked to her. She should be at the UN any minute. Cole, I know that we need this evidence that Jack has, but this crime scene is a slaughterhouse. Does Chloe really still think she can pull this off?
If anyone can talk Jack down, it's Chloe.
And if she can't?
Then we're both prepared to do whatever it takes to stop him.
Even when Novakovich's whole security staff couldn't.
What do you want me to do, Arlo? The truth about what went down today needs to get out, and that's not going to happen unless we get to Jack. Look, I'm coming up on Ricker's apartment. I'm going in.
Cole.
What?
Ricker went to a lot of trouble to disappear. He's not gonna like that you found him.
Yeah, I'm not expecting him to.
Ortiz spins his car around into an obscure side street and pulls up to park by the curb. Jim Ricker stares at a flat screen delivering the news.
We're looking at the UN Plaza Gardens and the podium from which all three co-sponsors of the peace treaty will address the public following a private signing ceremony inside the UN's council chamber. Russian President Yuri Suvorov, the third co-sponsor of the treaty, is en route to the UN, where he will join President Taylor and acting IRK President Dalia Hassan.
Jim picks up his jacket. A message flashes onto his screen, security alert. CCTV shows Cole Ortiz entering the building. Ortiz, gun drawn, advances cautiously along the corridor. Jim uses face recognition software, which identifies Cole as a CTU field agent. Cole crouches down and shrugs his bags off his shoulders. Jim, meanwhile, is preparing to initiate a global system wipe. Cole applies a handheld device to the door, which seems to give him a thermal image of inside Jim's base. He bangs on the door with his elbow.
Mr. Ricker, this is Agent Ortiz, CTU, open that door.
Getting no response, Cole faces the door and blows out the locks with his pump-action rifle. Jim stands within, leveling a pistol at Cole.
Before you pull that trigger, there's something you ought to know. I don't place a call in 15 minutes, every intelligence agency in the country gets alerted about you. And
weapons charges alone will get you locked up for the duration. Or you can help us find Jack Bauer, and we'll keep our mouth shut.
Ricker eyes him sardonically.
You think you're protecting him? The order on Jack Bauer is shoot to kill.
He knew what he was getting himself into.
Jack's not thinking straight. Look, I read your file. I know Jack saved your life in Damascus. This is your opportunity to pay back that debt. You know how this is gonna end, right?
Do you?
Ortiz lowers his weapon while maintaining intense eye contact.
If Jack dies today, it's on you.
Cole turns and walks away with barely a backward glance. Jim agonizes.
Hey. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute.
206. A large security presence is gathered in front of the UN building. A small silver car pulls up. Chloe gets out.
Is that it?
Chloe consults her PDA, onto the screen of which comes a picture of Meredith Reed and a caption, "Arrested."
Director O'Brien. Agent Burke, I have a revised security assessment for you. Ma'am, I noticed that Agent Ortiz's name was back on the duty roster.
That's right.
He was arrested for helping Jack Bauer.
I got him a temporary clearance so he could help us out here. He was the one who designed the UN protocols in the first place.
I know. Do you really think we can trust him?
I wouldn't have gotten him a release if I didn't.
Yes, ma'am.
Chloe moves away to find some privacy before answering her phone.
What happened?
Not good, Chloe. I think Jack's targeted Suvorov.
Is that what Ricker said?
Yeah, Jack planted a bug on Charles Logan, overheard a conversation between the two men. It turns out Suvorov's the one who gave the order for Renee to be killed.
Does Ricker have a recording of that conversation?
No, he wiped his system clean as soon as he saw me coming. But the surveillance rig he gave, Jack records everything to a backup, so Jack has a copy.
Good, we're gonna need it.
Why?
The White House just arrested Meredith Reed. They confiscated a data card from her.
Then is evidence.
Exactly. The recording that Jack has is the only proof we have now.
Chloe, I don't know that getting proof is our first priority anymore. We have to put an alert out on Jack.
If we do that, then Pillar will get to him first. He'll kill Jack and he'll destroy the recording.
Chloe, we can't stand by and let Jack assassinate the president of Russia.
No, but we can buy ourselves time. We can change Suvorov's motorcade route, sequester him in the UN, make it impossible for Jack to get to him.
Yeah, except Suvorov's gonna be standing at that podium soon, and once he's exposed like that, we can't protect him.
That's not happening for over an hour. If we haven't found Jack by then we can put out the alert.
Still taking a big risk, Chloe.
I know.
All right, get Suvorov's route changed, but you're putting me in charge of his security as soon as he gets to the UN.
How far out are you?
I'll be there in 10.
Ortiz, alone in his car, switches on a rear-view camera and uses this to negotiate a tricky reverse out of his parking place and back up the street at phenomenal speed. Pillar stands by Logan's hijacked limo.
Okay. Sir, the flash about Novakovich is going out. You want to speak with the president before that happens?
Thank you, Jason.
Do we know anything about Bauer?
No, nothing. If you don't mind me asking, sir, what are you going to tell the president?
I think it's time she... She knows everything.
Logan looks sidelong at Pillar like a guilty child. An open-air auditorium stands before the UN building. 209, Woods to Taylor.
All the delegates are present with the exception of Suvorov, who's still in transit. He'll be given the details once he arrives.
Taylor eyes her phone.
Excuse me, Tim.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm about to go into the protocol meeting. What's going on?
I wanted you to hear this news from me first.
What news?
I tried to insulate you as long as I could, preserve your plausible deniability.
Just tell me what you're talking about, Charles.
Jack Bauer isn't just trying to gather evidence about the conspiracy. He's seeking retribution.
Go on.
Bauer just murdered Mikhail Novakovich, along with a good number of his staff.
So Novakovich was responsible for the assassination of President Hassan?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Novakovich was the ranking member of the Russian delegation. President Suvorov is going to demand an explanation.
Actually, he's not.
Are you telling me that Hassan's murder goes all the way up to Suvorov?
Yes. But the good news is that Bauer doesn't know that.
How can you be sure?
Because according to a witness, Bauer killed Novakovich before he could talk. And aside from me, Novakovich is the only person who knew that Suvorov was calling the shots.
Madam President, Bauer's finished.
What he started, and Suvorov will be happy to sweep this under the rug, and the peace agreement can go forward as planned. This is really, we couldn't have asked for a better outcome.
Except that I am asking Dalia Hassan to shake hands with her husband's murderer. Call Suvorov. Tell him that I am aware of his involvement in this. That I will see him at the signing.
Jack has been listening in to this entire conversation. Taylor struggles to overcome her emotion and then turns to enter the conference room. 2:11.
My apologies. Thank you for waiting.
Taylor smiles to Dalia among the numerous foreign delegates.
How did the call go?
I told the president about Suvorov's involvement, and she understood, not that she has an alternative.
That's good news, sir.
Your new Secret Service detail's here to escort you to the UN.
Thank you, Jason. It's been a long road, but we're almost there.
Jack continues to listen in as Pillar escorts Logan, who seems less than fully well, to a replacement limo. As the car pulls away, Logan sits in the back and presses a handkerchief to his still streaming eyes. Pillar walks back up towards his vehicle, pulling out his phone as he goes.
Anything new on Bauer?
The security camera picked him up leaving Novakovich's hotel. Confirm what Burkov told us. Bauer was definitely wounded during the attack.
How badly?
Badly enough that he's going to need treatment. Getting alerts out to medical facilities now.
I also let Port Authority and INS know Bauer might be trying to get out of the country. We'll find him. It's only a question of time.
Maybe a little quicker than you thought. Slowly take your weapon out and pass it back to me. Slowly. Start the car and drive. You saw what I did to Pavel? I didn't have a lot of time with him. You have got all the time in the world. So you either do what I say, or I will take you apart piece by piece. Now drive!
Pillar pulls away from the curb. He glances nervously back at Jack in his rearview mirror.
Where are we going?
UN.
Why? You already got what you wanted. You killed everyone involved.
Save your breath. I know about President Suvorov.
Pillar's pale blue narrow-set eyes betray his panic. Jack's expression remains hard as steel. 2:13, end of part one.
Your delegations will be joining you at the reception after the post-signing ceremony. And finally, on behalf of the UN staff, I would like to say that we are all honored to be part of this historic occasion. Thank you for your time.
As the delegates rise, Dalia smiles to Taylor and then turns discreetly to Jamot.
Your daughter is being waiting outside to speak to you. She says it's important.
Let her know I'll be right there.
Yes, ma'am.
Madam President, I have something for you. It's from Omar. He wanted to give it to you. To sign the agreement, I'm grateful that I can do so on his behalf. It reads, all religions, all this singing, one song. Peace be with you. It is a verse Omar would quote from Rumi when he was talking about what you and he were trying to achieve. Thank you for seeing this through.
and for helping us all do justice to his memory.
President Taylor seems to be suffering agonies of guilt as she opens the inscribed box to reveal a beautiful pen.
Oh, yeah, I am honored. I'm very honored. Thank you.
Dahlia kisses Taylor on the cheek. The president turns and walks glumly away. Kyla, waiting at the door with Tim Woods, momentarily takes her hand as she passes. Kyla then turns to her mother.
Kyla, what is it?
Meredith Reed called the residence looking for you.
I am not interested in that woman's condolences.
That is not why she called. She says she has information about the people who are behind father's murder.
But we know who was behind your father's death. Extremists in our country.
But she claims that they had outside help. That the Russians were involved.
Why would she say such a thing? Does she have evidence or is this just a rumor?
I don't know, but it can't have been easy for her to call you. I don't think she would have done so because of a rumor.
What else did she say?
She wouldn't say anything more until she talked to you. She left a number.
Let's call her from the residence.
At the CTU command unit at the UN, Ortiz pulls up. 220. Inside, Chloe approaches a pair of agents.
Ian, President Suvorov's motorcade is delayed 5 minutes because of the new route. Put out an all agency.
How do you want to code it?
Eyes only.
Yes, ma'am.
Lanza, make sure Burke reports you with the set of tactical gear for Agent Ortiz.
Yes, ma'am.
I was at CTU running the surveillance video through facial recognition software. Still no sign of Jack.
Look, I've been thinking. Let's say we do get this recording from Jack, what are we supposed to do with it? Even if the president's willing to lock down Meredith Reed.
She can't shut down every media outlet in the world, which is where we're going to send this file. We're also going to send it to every government employee in the country. Legislative, military, judiciary, that's over 100,000 people.
How are we doing this?
Using CTU servers, we can distribute it simultaneously to everyone. President Taylor won't be able to stop the truth from getting out.
Burke, good to see you.
Sir.
Do you have the revised protocols for President Suvorov's arrival?
Yes, ma'am. We're now bringing the motorcade into the FDR drive ramp.
Good. Make sure that Agent Ortiz has the revised protocols. He's back in charge.
Let's take a look.
Burke seems less than pleased. Pillar drives past the gathering crowd outside the UN and presents his ID to security. Jack lies low in the back seat, keeping his pistol trained on Pillar's back. Pillar bounces over a ramp near the tall, shiny building. Jack pulls out what appear to be medical dressings from his bag. Pillar drives on through the tight web of security.
We're going to the Hart building. I want you to park underground.
Pillar swings right off the roadway and pulls up in front of a line of armed personnel.
This car's life is in your hands. You make one move that I don't like, I'm going to kill you both. You understand?
Pillar winds down his window and presents his credentials to the armed guard.
Jason Pillar.
The guard takes the card and peers briefly into the rear of the vehicle. He scrutinizes Pillar's ID closely.
There's no one inside. Left the building 2 hours ago.
Yeah, I'm just running a last-minute security check.
Of course, sir.
Jack looks on suspiciously as Pillar and the guard share a look.
Is there anything else, sir?
No, thank you.
Pillar drives on. The tinted windows keep Jack safe from view from the guards. They descend into the underground parking area.
Going over here.
223. Pillar slowly pulls into a parking space.
Slowly, with your right hand, take the keys out of the ignition and pass them back.
Pillar complies.
Get out of the car. Now! Close the door. Put your hands on the roof. Don't you move.
Suvorov's not going to be out on the podium for another hour.
You're not going to make it that long, though, with the way you're bleeding.
Jack seems to have a small reel of surgical thread in his hand.
Slowly, back up towards me.
Pillar walks slowly and tensely backwards towards Jack.
Stop. Turn around. Good. You're going to suture me up.
He hands Pillar the needle and thread.
You try and make a move on me. Slightest twitch. I will put a bullet in your brain. You got it?
Pillar slowly but unflinchingly sets about the task of sewing up the ugly gash in Jack's midriff. He pushes the needle through Jack's flesh.
I don't understand something. You've spent your entire career working outside the system, and you've always had a good reason. But this is just bloodlust. You're destroying an agreement that took years to put together.
An agreement made by murderers and liars.
Murderers. You're the one killing people in cold blood.
Everybody I took out had a hand in today's attack.
But who made you judge and jury?
President Taylor, when she agreed to the cover-up, I would have accepted justice by law. But that was taken away from me by people like you. So you're right. I am judge and jury. Now step back. Turn around. Start to move back towards the car.
Look, I came in after Hassan and Renee Walker were killed. I didn't have anything to do with that. You have to believe.
Get on your knees!
Just bow. I'm telling you the truth. I've got a family. I've got a little girl.
Shut up.
Bow, please. I have a little girl. I have a daughter. Bow is 6 years old. Please. Don't do this, please. Please.
Jack wavers. Raising his pistol from Pillar's nape, he now brings it crashing down on the back of his head. He hits him again, leaving him unconscious on the floor. He walks in pain towards the vehicle. 2:26, end of part two. Part three, 2:30. Jack shuts Pillar's bound and gagged body in the rear of the SUV. Carrying his kit bag on his shoulder, he moves warily to the next corner and peers around it, gun drawn. Dalia Hassan paces with a phone to her ear while Kyla sits looking on with concern.
Still no answer. Are you sure this is Meredith Reed's number?
The number she gave him.
Then why isn't she answering?
I just spoke to Gary Clausen, his race editor. He doesn't know where she is and has no way to reach her. He seemed very anxious to get off the phone.
Kyla turns an astonished look to her mother. Dalia seems shocked and now mobilizes.
Where are you going?
President Taylor and I are supposed to be sitting across the table from Yuri Suvorov in less than an hour. If his government was involved in murdering your father, President Taylor needs to know.
She walks out, leaving Jamot and Kyla looking stunned. Taylor sits holding the fountain pen from Omar Hassan.
And following the death of Omar Hassan, President Suvorov was reportedly pessimistic about the viability of the peace treaty. But rumors of a Russian withdrawal were soon dismissed by the White House, and President Suvorov is expected to arrive at the
UN. Yes? Excuse me, Madam President. It's Dalia Hassan.
I'll have to call her back.
She's outside, ma'am. She says it's urgent.
Taylor freezes, but seems to resolve to face the music. Taylor rises and goes to sit at her desk. She places the pen in its inscribed case and settles herself before Dalia appears in haste.
Madam President, forgive me. I have just heard something that is very disturbing.
What did you hear?
That the Russian government or people within the Russian government were involved in the murder of my husband.
Where did you hear this?
My daughter received a phone call from the journalist Meredith Reed.
Have you spoken with her yourself?
No. I've tried everything, but I've been unable to reach her. I came here to ask for your help finding Miss Reed. I need to know if there is any truth in what she said.
Dalia, we heard a rumor about the Russians being involved as well.
And you didn't tell me?
No. Because we looked into it and found that there was nothing backing it up. It was just a frivolous accusation.
Whatever else she may be, Meredith Reed is not a frivolous woman. She came to me. Someone she knew would have every reason to doubt her.
Dahlia, I know that you want answers. But we are signing the agreement in less than an hour.
Madam President, I feel like you're not listening to me. Before I sign a treaty with people who may have murdered my husband, I need help finding this woman. Please.
I will do the best I can in the time that we have left.
I don't think I'm making myself clear. Until I determine if her allegations are true, I will not sign this treaty.
Dahlia, please, be reasonable.
This is my position, Madam President. I will not change my mind.
And you... you leave me no choice. I had Meredith Reed arrested.
Why?
Because her allegations would be too damaging.
That doesn't make any sense. You wouldn't arrest someone for making false allegations. Unless they aren't false. You knew. You knew the Russians were behind my husband's death and you said nothing?
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry. It was an impossible situation. I was trying to protect you.
Protect me? You betrayed me!
Dahlia, we are about to complete the most important diplomatic action in generations. Your husband sacrificed his life to preserve the treaty.
How dare you invoke my husband? He never would have stood for this. This treaty happened because he trusted you. And even though every fiber in my being wanted to go home and grieve, I carried on because I trusted you. But not anymore. I will not make peace with the people who murdered my husband or with you. There will be no agreement. I will be entering a formal complaint with the United Nations demanding that you release Miss Reed. And disclose whatever evidence you've kept from me and from the rest of the world.
Stop! In 1 hour, you will stand beside me in the council chamber, and you will sign the treaty your husband and I agreed to.
I will not!
You will. Because if you don't, my administration will disclose hard, indisputable evidence that agents inside your intelligence service attempted to detonate a nuclear device on our soil, which will give me all the justification I need to retaliate against the IRK with the full force of the American military. It will be decades before your country recovers.
Dahlia stares, open-mouthed.
But it doesn't need to come to that. All you have to do is sign the agreement.
Dahlia, unable to speak, turns to leave.
Dahlia?
Taylor is left standing there, quivering. 2:37. 2:41, Suvorov's motorcade continues on briskly. Attack team moves through a marbled foyer. Jack peers from a doorway as they pass by. Leveling his gun, he walks down a long corridor with doors leading off on either side. He comes to the foyer area, turns right and crosses to a flight of stairs. He applies two tiny devices to the marble wall and then descends a short flight of stairs to a door marked Utility. He forces the lock and disappears into the small bare room. He pulls his bag off his back. He peers out through a grilled louver down at the open-air auditorium several floors below. Looking back across the room, he then pulls out a small laptop and crosses to a set of shelves. He opens the computer, onto the screen of which appears CCTV relayed from the tiny devices he attached to the wall outside. He hurriedly clears a small table and sets it up below the window. He pulls a deadly-looking rifle from his bag, unfolds the butt, and lays it on the table. Taking a screwdriver, he applies himself to removing the grill from the window. Jamot sits looking grave.
First they murdered my husband, and now this woman who has lied to me is threatening my country!
I don't see a way out of this, Madam President.
Can tell the world what these Russian bastards did and how President Taylor protected them. We can take our case directly to The Hague.
There is no case. No proof to support any of these accusations. More important, there are President Taylor's threats to consider. We cannot dismiss them.
Our military can protect us from incursion. And if necessary, we can reactivate our nuclear program.
Giving your husband's enemies exactly what they wanted in the first place. In addition to providing her with even more of an excuse to launch a preemptive military strike against us.
I don't care what President Ada said, she wouldn't dare.
Can you really take that chance? Yes? Thank you. Yuri Suvorov's delegation will be arriving any moment. President Taylor is expecting you there to greet him.
Dahlia ponders this appalling prospect. Jack has now removed the metal grill. He squints through a tiny telescope to the podium below.
Agent Ortiz. Spoke with Arlo. He got a facial recognition hit on Jack.
Where?
Inside our perimeter. He's here, Cole. He's been careful to avoid all the security cameras, but Arlo found this. It's from the 22nd floor of the Hart building across the street from the UN. The software picked up his reflection.
How'd I get into the building?
According to the logs, the only person to enter the building in the past 20 minutes was Pillar. Jack must have taken him hostage.
The windows on the east side of the building. Give him a clean line of sight down onto the podium.
I'm gonna go find him.
Sure, I'm going with you.
You can't. You'll just cause a fight, and I'm the only one that Jack will listen to.
And what if he doesn't?
Give me 20 minutes. If you don't hear from me, we'll follow through with our plan. Sound the alarm about Jack and secure Suvorov.
20 minutes.
Okay.
Now keep your calm open. I want to know what's going on.
I can't. CTU is monitoring all frequencies. It's too risky.
All right. At least take this.
Thanks.
Be careful.
Taking the pistol Cole hands her, Chloe heads off at speed. Cole kills the image of Jack as Burke comes over.
Where's O'Brien headed?
She's running a last-minute perimeter sweep.
By herself?
Keep a real-time uplink open with Suvorov security people and let me know when it's up and running.
Yes, sir.
Burke eyes Cole rather askance. The tall building overlooks the plaza. Jack prepares to video himself.
Hey. As long as I can remember every time I've had to talk to you. Seems for one reason or another, I've started out by telling you how sorry I am. I'm not gonna do that to you now. You're gonna hear a lot of stories about what I've done today. Some of them may even be true, but no one, and I mean no one, can tell you why I did what I did, except for me. A lot of good people died today. Not just President Hassan. Operatives from CTU, members of other law enforcement agencies. Renee Walker. Who I was very close to.
2:48. Police escort Suvorov's motorcade at speed. They swoop left and down into the underground area of the UN building. Tim Wood speaks on his phone.
Yes. Thank you. President Suvorov's motorcade is just around the corner.
Was Mrs. Hassan notified of his arrival?
I believe so, ma'am.
Yes or no, Tim? Which is it? Is she coming or not?
Why wouldn't she be?
Tim Woods casts her a highly puzzled look and then spots Dahlia Hassan making a slow, dignified approach. She comes to stand next to Taylor without giving her so much as a glance. Taylor looks at her beseechingly. Cars stream past them. Finally, the presidential limo draws to a halt by the red carpet. Suvorov gets out from the back seat.
President Taylor, that we are all here together is a tribute to your persistence. Mrs. Hassan, I am sorry for your loss. I admired your husband very much.
We're wanted upstairs for the press conference.
Yes, of course.
Mr. President.
As they move off, Taylor gets close to Dahlia.
Dahlia, I know that this is very difficult.
There's nothing left for either of us to say, Madam President.
2:50. End of part three. Part 4, 2:54.
Chloe O'Brien, Director of CTU?
Yes, ma'am. The master key and building schematics you requested.
Thank you.
Taylor, Suvorov, and Dahlia Hassan line up for the press and an appreciative crowd. A man takes the microphone.
Mr. Secretary.
Mr. Secretary.
Good afternoon, fellow delegates and ladies and gentlemen of the press. The last 24 hours have been the most difficult in this long and challenging road that we've all traveled together to reach this moment. Now, the eyes of the entire world are looking to the leaders standing here with me now, ready to usher in a new era of transparency, honesty, and trust. President Taylor, President Hassan,
President Suvorov have each risen to this challenge for the sake of world peace. And the treaty that they have created together represents the culmination of their courageous efforts.
Logan adjusts his tie and looks slyly around. Ortiz nervously looks at his watch.
Jim Burke.
Sir.
I need you to assemble a 10-man squad and deploy them to Sector C7.
Harpending, sir? We already have men on post there.
Not nearly enough if there's a threat anywhere along that corridor. Keep your men outside the building until you hear otherwise.
Yes, sir.
2:55. Chloe, her gun drawn, walks cautiously up a flight of marble stairs. She peers out through a half-open window down to the plaza below. She seems to hear the sound of Jack piling boxes onto the shelf in his utility room. She walks slowly to the banister rail and peeps down through the stairwell. She begins walking down the stairs. She casts nervous glances all around as she heads down the next flight. She looks out through a grilled louver window. She comes to the door marked utility and pulls a key from her pocket. She quietly opens the door. As she enters, Jack, who is in a position behind the door, rushes her and gets her gun.
What the hell are you doing here?
You have to kill Suvorov. There's another way.
Who else knows where I am?
Please listen.
Who else knows?
Cole and Arlo. If I don't get you out of here in 10 minutes, Cole's gonna send in every agent we have. Jack, they're gonna kill you. There's a standing order to shoot you on sight. Couldn't let that happen.
You shouldn't have come after me.
You're my friend. You didn't have a choice.
Neither do I. Don't fire. Don't fire.
Jack squeezes Chloe's neck until she stops struggling. He lays her gently down onto the floor. Jack gets up urgently. Ortiz paces. Arlo sits at his screen. Ortiz checks his PDA. The UN secretary continues his address. Chloe lies handcuffed to a railing. Across the room, Jack gets his rifle ready. Suvorov stands listening to the UN secretary. Logan watches with an eye to the main chance, as ever.
Thank you, Eric. Mr. Secretary General, distinguished delegates, honored guests, today the world takes a tremendous step.
Jason, you watching this? Jason.
I have a 5.56 rifle pointed straight at your head. Power.
Bullet travels 2,900 feet per second. If you try and move, you're a dead man. Which means you need to do exactly what I say. Do you understand? Do you understand?
Jack, I told you everything I know.
And you thought I believed you.
Jack plays him his recording.
Which was the only one who knew that Suvorov was calling the shots.
What do you want?
I want you to call President Suvorov and have him meet you where you are as soon as the press conference is over.
What am I supposed to tell him?
Try the truth for a change. Tell him you've got credible intelligence about a threat to his life.
Logan gasps for breath. Jack smiles wryly at his own joke. 3 p.m., the end.